AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at AM570LASports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Man is not the enemy here, but the fellow victim.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. We are your home of the Dodgers.
My man,
hammer it. You know where I'm at. We are your home of the Dodgers. They are playing spring training baseball at Camelback Ranch in Arizona.
Who's back?
Camelback!
And we aren't there because why?
Our boss didn't want us there. Our boss is
there. Is that really why? I mean, you're going to Arizona this weekend to call an AAF game, Matt. Big game on NFL Network, is it?
Big game on NFL Network, 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Arizona Hotshots versus San Antonio Commanders.
Yeah.
Two head coaches that used to make regular appearances on the Petros and Money Show. Mike Riley while he was at Oregon State. And, of course, Rick Neuheisel while
our old friends.
He was at UCLA. They will be doing battle. A rubber game between those two as while they were both head coaches in the Pac-10/Pac-12. 2-2 record.
So you're going out to Arizona.
I'll be going out tomorrow night.
We are not there for the Spring Training Express.
Mostly it's better that way.
Well, most people will want us to do the radio show.
And if we
did the Spring Training Express, we would be ball-washing sponsors, but not doing...
Listeners, sponsors, hosting,
ball-washing sponsors.
That's what we're
doing. Listeners go on a different bus.
Well... So, we got to babysit them, though, because sometimes they wander to parts in the park. It was a hell of a once.
Well, all I'm saying is if we can't do the show, it just doesn't seem like there's a good reason for us to go. So the Spring Training Express went without us, but that doesn't mean we're not all over your Dodgers here on your Dodger station. And our very next Dodger game coming up is Sunday at 1 versus the Rockies. But, Matt, it's a Frogman Friday.
It's a Frogman Friday.
Frogman.
Frogman.
Frogman. Frogman.
The voice of the sea speaks to the soul.
Frogman.
The touch of the sea is sensuous, enfolding the body in its soft, cold embrace.
I am the Frogman.
On a Frogman Friday, we celebrate the greatness of Mike Nelson from Sea Hunt. We also celebrate our lifeguards and first responders all over the area. L.A., Orange, and San Diego, and Santa Barbara counties, and L.A. City. We love the lifeguards. We love the Pacific. But most of all, we love Lloyd Bridges.
Any combat unit is only as effective as its human components. Out of the 20 men that I started with, I wound up with only two who were capable of passing on to others the knowledge they'd acquired. Tomas Vilegas, age 26. University of Princeton, wealthy family. Good diver, very quick to learn. But under that aristocratic poise ran a stubborn streak. Paul Ramirez, age 28, called Indio. Orphan since birth. High school education padded by a healthy curiosity and some years in the service. If you had to pick a word to characterize Indio, it would be happy.
Happy.
Why the face, Matt?
Why the face?
Gabby.
What are you, nuts? We got to get that stuff to Florida.
Told you.
Setting a tone.
Do you know what it's like these days?
No.
You've got the freaking Navy everywhere.
No.
You got frogmen. You got EC2s with the satellite tracking stuff.
Yes.
You got the freaking Bell 209 assault choppers up the ass. We're losing one out of every 9 loads.
I don't think so.
That's no duck walk anymore, let me tell you. Forget about money. What do you suggest is reasonable?
Just go back to the East Coast.
No. Hey, Dahlia, how's life working with Gabby? Oh, my God, everybody hates her. What? She's the worst.
Why gotta throw poor Dahlia under the bus?
Because Dahlia's probably like our nicest intern
ever. Well, she is.
Ever.
If Dahlia's here, could you come in and call her out, Dahlia? We want to hear some Gabby stories.
Oh, my God, she's so mean.
Now.
No.
It is time
for
C-Lab.
C-Lab. C-Lab.
good show today, Matt. We got a lot of guests.
We got a great show because starting at 3:30 p.m., the man that broke the news that LeBron James was going to be on a minutes restriction and will be resting in back-to-back joined us last week.
We liked him so much.
Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports. Hopefully going to make him a regular throughout the postseason because, you know, the Clippers are going to make the playoffs and they're going to make a postseason run, so we're going to need somebody to cover that postseason. Yeah.
Cates is pursuing Chris Haynes like Lawrence Frank, who is our guest at 5:30 from the Clippers front office. The president of basketball ops for the Clippers is pursuing the likes of people like Kawhi Leonard. But he won't talk about it because that's tampering.
Can't do that, but we'll ask him about a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, that's right. So Chris Haynes, this very hour, Lawrence Frank with some basketball talk at 5:30.
This might be the most guests we've ever had in at least, I don't know, I'd say maybe a couple months.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since we had a five-pack of guests on the show.
We're wedging some guys at the edges of the hours, like my dad.
Back end of this hour.
Scott Wolf, live from USC spring football practice, and by that I mean Whittier.
Now, is that 4:30 or 4:45?
That's at 4:45.
That's going to be 4:45.
No, that's 4:30.
We're
going to
move that to 4:30?
Yeah, we're going to move that back. You're right. That's smart. Let me text Wolf. And
he tweeted it out, and I went, some people think it might be 4:30, and he retweeted it, so I was like, all right, maybe he's okay with it.
Yeah, he's moving.
Wolfie, you're moving. 4:30. Things are going great out there.
I want to do my textoso.
Spread the good word. Let's spread the good news.
That's what we're going to do.
Of USC football.
We're going to spread the news.
You saw what Graham Harrell said about arguably the longest tenured, most respected coach on that staff. Your man, old Timmy, why can't I remember his last name?
Tim Drevno?
Drevno.
Uh-huh.
Hey, everybody's going to adapt. You know, Coach Drevno. He's like, I could be doing so much more. And I'm like, hey, you don't have to do more. We just got to do it better. That's all we're doing, man. We're running these four plays, but we're going to run them better than anybody else. So that's all you got to do. And he seems cool with it.
Sounds like spring ball, man.
He seems cool with it.
Wolf will give us the latest.
Yeah.
Live from Whittier.
Timmy D.
Some guy that Wolf used to really attack all the time because he's not able to play in a position. And Wolf was right. David Sills will join us in our final hour, but he's going to the NFL.
That's not good.
As a wide receiver.
When you said that, I thought you were going to say JT Daniels.
No.
Like, oh. It's just spring, man.
You're the one that just called out JT.
I know. It's just what popped into my head.
Did you hear what Joel Klatt said?
No.
When he was here on Monday?
What'd he say? I was on a bird.
He said, look, I'm a quarterback. I did a lot of their games. He played poorly. He had a terrible season. He is a poor football player right now. He needs to improve a lot, and I'd reopen up the competition. I'm paraphrasing.
And what'd they do? Reopen that competition.
Well, they had to.
Couldn't do what you did last year.
No. But they probably still will. So that's the five-pack, Matt said.
That's Wolf, Sills, Mr. P, Chris Haynes, Lawrence Frank. That's a good five-pack, too.
That is.
That's a good five-pack of guests.
Strong five-pack.
That ain't just filling time because you got to fill in host and you got to book a bunch of guests, so you're just throwing everything up against the wall. That's a good, solid five-pack of guests right there.
Looking forward to that.
Darn right.
That's a five-pack that's so cool, you're not even concerned about who took your other Bartles and James, and you only got five instead of six. What?
Four of the five are confirmed. Have you talked to your dad today?
No.
Okay. Me either.
Have you attempted to talk
to him? I did.
Okay. Well, there's a bit of a concern then.
All right.
Does he have a gig tonight?
No.
You're
you
sure?
know the two gigs.
Does he have a session? Does he have a session?
No, he did a recording session this week, though.
Okay. Is there any playoff basketball in town that he might be attending?
Peninsula's been eliminated, and I believe Palos Verdes also, and Mary Star.
I was going to say, what about Mary Star? That's always the third.
All eliminated.
Okay. Would he go to Pedro? I mean, would he go to, not Pedro, would he go to PV?
Palos Verdes, I think they've been eliminated.
Okay.
The Sea Kings?
Narbonne?
The Bonn?
Would he go to the Bonn?
I have something for you, Matt. I have a self-report. It happened.
So hopefully your dad will join.
Report.
I guess.
Someone is filing a self-report. Self-report.
Hadn't happened in a really long time. And I just want to say, I think I handled it really well. But at the age of 41, for the first time in at least 5 years, I ran out of gas this morning.
Now, it's been a while.
It has.
It used to be a regular occurrence. And by regular, I mean...
Once every 6 months. Come on.
I was going to say four. I was going to say once every 4 months, and I felt like I was giving you the benefit
of the
doubt.
Well, I had the car where it broke, so I never knew how much gas I had, and I just had to count. And I'm not... math is not my strong suit.
Used to be about once every four months.
I knew that I was low. And I went to yoga. And
you
like,
go back up on the hill.
I rolled down the hill.
You got to climb that hill, man. You're going
to
be empty.
I rolled down the hill this morning to Torrance to yoga. I went to yoga from 6 to 7. I got out of yoga.
You forgot.
No. I was ready. I was like, I'm going to go right across the street. There's a Shell. I'm going to go right across the street immediately and put gas in my car and then go home and take the kids to school and do the whole deal. Car would not start. So without even hesitating, knowing what to do because I'm such a veteran, I marched over to the Shell station for $15. I purchased the thing, the gas can, put the gas in there, and I'm good at it now. I can flip it over. I didn't even spill a drop, Matt. And it just sent me back 10 minutes.
That's all.
I'm a...
Well, $20.
15.
Well, plus tax.
I'm a...
17
or I'm 12, a veteran. 12. A veteran at running out of gas. So I just want to say, for you kids out there, the moral of the story is, if you run out of gas, do yourself a favor.
Park across the street from a gas station.
Well, of course, you know, that was a convenience that not often has befallen me. But if you do run out of gas, take a deep breath. Remember.
How about don't run out of gas?
If I had a choice, I would not have run out of gas.
You got a counter in that car that went to zero and told you you had nothing left. Probably last night,
Matt,
before you even got home.
I needed to make it to yoga. I was going to be late.
What about last night? When you got off the freeway, how many miles?
The commute is kicking my ass.
How many miles did it say you had left in your tank?
No patience to stop. I had to get home.
How many miles did it say you had left? It was zero, wasn't it? It was zero.
It said, take action immediately. All I'm saying is, if you do run out of gas, kids, please be patient and calm with yourself like I was today. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't beat yourself up because you know what? You're just crying over spilled milk. It's over. Now you got to go put the gas in your car and get your day moving again without letting it destroy you or letting your friends who are not on your side, like mine are not.
It's not that I'm not on your side.
Pull you down and make you feel bad about yourself. Because
I don't think there's anything to celebrate. You're trying to celebrate.
I'll tell you what I'm celebrating,
Matt.
You
said this was a self-report.
I'll tell you
why. This became a self-celebration. It's like, no, you benefited from proximity.
Let's play it again.
That's all it was.
Self-report. Self-report. Play the sound again, Ronnie, because I want to make this clear.
Self-report. Someone is filing a self-report.
Maybe I haven't been clear enough, Matt, because you don't have self-report. You don't have the memory bank of running out of gas once a year for the last 20 years.
Once a year.
Hey, yes, that's what it averages out to, Matt. It's been at least 5 years. It's
been a while.
All right? Second down at 9. I will say this. Usually when I run out of gas, I become extremely impatient, extremely angry, so much so to where I spill the gas all over my hands, all over my clothes, all over the car. I don't properly put the gas into the car from the gas can. All of those things. I don't read the instructions on the gas can.
You don't skateboard your truck down an off ramp.
It was not a truck. That was a Malibu. This shows what you remember. Anaheim Street.
Forgive me to forget what type of vehicle you skateboarded down.
My foot wouldn't reach on the truck. All I'm saying is I was really proud of myself for not panicking or beating myself up, but just resolving the problem. And moving on with my day. And
so
I would say that that's a great lesson for
you
kids out
there. So the lesson to take away is,
don't beat yourself up. Hey, we all make mistakes.
When you park across the street from a gas station.
Well, I was lucky.
And you're out of gas. Just take a deep breath and cross the street and get yourself a gas can and fill it up.
Right, but when you fill up the gas can, don't be overzealous. Don't freak out. Don't cut corners. Read the instructions, because you're going to spill gas all over the shelf. Next thing you know, you light up a doobie, and you're on fire. And, you know, then your day really sucks, right? Now you got fourth-degree burns. Fourth, and you're laying in the hospital
fourth
at Harbor
degree
General.
Fourth-degree burns is bad.
Yeah, fourth-degree burns
scene.
Is your bacon.
Yes.
So, you know, Matt.
Bacon, you're jerky.
I'm just saying, Matt. You know, there. You know,
way
it could
go.
Have been a lot worse.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Way to run out of gas again, right across the street from a gas station.
Two gas stations.
You could have gone in there before you went to yoga.
No, I didn't have time.
Yeah, well, leave 5 minutes earlier and get gas. Then you would have had time.
I was touching myself. I have a routine.
Touch yourself faster.
No, Matt.
Pick up the pace. Let's go.
In retrospect.
Let's go.
In retrospect, I might have done that.
Yes. Oh, damn, I'm going to be late. Finish this up. Oh, Christ. Well, all right, Chris Haynes going to talk basketball.
Thank you to you listeners for bearing with the story. I think it's important for all of us to remember that when mistakes are made, the best thing to do is just pick yourself up, dust yourself up,
or
and start all over again.
Don't pretend like the commute has torn you down to such a position where you can't fill your tank when your gas tank says you have zero and you have to ascend a
2-mile
climb to get home knowing it's going to completely empty your
tank. I don't live on Everest.
You live behind a gate on a
hill.
No,
I do not live. No.
You go back up on the hill.
I do go back up on the hill, but it's not a 2-mile climb.
And you're right. It's 3.
No, no. And I just want to say, I had to get home.
You did not have to get home.
My wife had to work.
You chose to get home.
No, I had to get there.
Oh, when you got home, she was running out the door screaming, "Where have you been?"
No, I had about 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wanted to see my wife.
You could have seen her for 5 minutes less.
No, man. You know what, man?
You don't deserve to be celebrated.
I do.
There's a great job. There's no reason to celebrate.
I didn't spill one drop.
Where's the gas can
I
now?
I did cross the street illegally.
Where's the gas can now?
Back of the truck.
Just flipping and flopping around like
a
dead fish.
I got it all out.
Are you
sure? Matt, usually I throw the...
Are you sure?
Usually, here's another thing I want to celebrate myself for. Usually, I waste that $20 and throw the gas can away because I don't want to remember the mistake I made and I want to act like it's never going to happen again. Not this time. Gas can, back of the truck.
Here's what's going to happen.
Don't say it.
We're going to go downstairs when we're done with the show. You're going to look at your bed, and you're going to notice that that gas can has leaked all over the place.
There's no gas in it anymore.
Someone's going to fling a cigarette out their window while you're driving, and your whole truck's going to go up in flames.
Good.
Then who's going to be laughing?
Well, you, I guess. Just like he's laughing right now. What a guy.
What a guy.
Happy International Women's Day. I'm going to burn to death. And we'll be right back with Chris Haynes, ladies and gentlemen, NBA insider for Yahoo that broke the LeBron's minutes are limited story. More to come. And what about Antonio Brown? Is he really going to be a Raider?
Oh, hold on. Let's refresh real quick.
Is that really happening, guys? Where does he belong?
A guy who covers the PGA Tour at Oakmont in Pittsburgh broke the news that Antonio Brown's trade was imminent. And then he posted on his Instagram that he was going to the Silver and Black. But now it's radio silence. So we'll keep tabs on it. Sorry, Kate. That's all. Enjoy Ace of Base. Petros and Money on your home of the Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports. Spring training baseball is back this weekend. You'll hear it on Sunday when the Dodgers take on the Rockies, 1 p.m. We are also your home for Clippers basketball. Remember, we have Clippers v. Thunder tonight, pregame 6:30.
Thunder! Feel the thunder!
Oh, I love that song.
Terrible.
Tip-off coming up at 7:30 p.m.
Are we giving away a TV today, Cates, or did Rogan and Rodney already give away the TV, Cates?
They already gave it away.
They gave it away.
I already gave it away. 20 TVs in 20 days. Some lucky winner won it. That 4K Ultra High Def TV from Westinghouse. 50-inch Android TV was given away earlier from Rogan and Rodney. And we got...
Yeah, we do, but remember...
Got some round ball.
We're going to put this up, too, and you could podcast it. This guy does a podcast. He knows what it's all about. Don't turn off PMS when you get home. Just tell Alexa... Alexa, play PMS on AM 570. If you miss anything, you can podcast on AM570LASports.com or the iHeartRadio app where you download your podcast. Joining us right now, a guy that does a podcast. We love talking NBA with him. We had him on last week. We loved Woj, but now we got Haynes. And he's more exciting to talk to. Let's just be honest. I think Adrian would concede that.
We're happy for Haynes.
That's right. Wait till we get our Haynes on you. Ha. Wrote the story yesterday about LeBron James and his minutes being hacked down like so many weeds in an unruly garden. Joining us to discuss it all is Chris Haynes, Yahoo NBA insider on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Online. What's cracking, Chris? How are you?
Man, guys, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad I made it for another time, man.
Oh, we love it.
This is like the Hunger Games. You know, you just barely survived.
I heard another NBA writer didn't survive the other week, so I'm glad to be back.
No, he didn't make it through the car wash.
He got cut. He's gone. He's out.
No, we like you, Chris. You can do no wrong here on the Petros and Money Show as far as we're concerned. Hey, you got to be a geek artist on the air. If you can't geek it, you can't come on the radio, you know? You know how it is out there, Chris.
Man, I'm flattered.
Please tell us, were you surprised when you dug out this story and reported it about LeBron's minutes? Because he was the guy that went out and said that he wasn't going to sit, that he was going to play this thing out.
I was surprised by, you know what, I think you know, I don't have any facts to prove this. Just this is my own personal opinion. You know, this could have been a compromise. You know, I reported, you know, that, you know, LeBron agreed to a 28-32 minute range and possibly sitting back to back. But you know, this can potentially be a compromise. Like I said, I don't have any facts to back this up. But you know, 28-32 minutes is still a lot of minutes. And, you know, I've covered LeBron James on a day-to-day basis, you know, in my Cleveland time when I was a beat writer. And he hates sitting out games. And now that, you know, he's at this point in his career, you know, there's a bunch of milestones out there to be had. And so I would imagine, so it's already tough to get him to sit out. And then you're trying to get him to sit out at this stage of his career when there's these milestones that could be, you know, could be had. You're asking him to leave points on the board still, you know, just to sit this thing out because there's no playoff implications going on right now. So I would imagine this was probably a compromise to get him to agree to this. But he agreed. And one thing about LeBron, you know, he's stubborn when it comes to, you know, sticking with a minute restriction. So I wouldn't be surprised if he went off course a little bit and fought it, you know, a couple of games. But this is the plan as of right now. So I was a little bit surprised from that regard.
That's good. I mean, that's interesting. We have not heard that particular position, that the individual accolades, the career achievements that he could be leaving on the table trying to catch Kareem could be a central issue. I just assumed it was the optics of it. So, Chris, do you know why? Like, what would the Lakers, because he's going to have the longest offseason, really, of his career since year two. He's finally going to have a full summer, perhaps, to get rested. So I get that part of it, that's going to be good for him and good for the Lakers long term. What do you think is the thought process behind not having him play extended minutes or in back-to-backs?
I mean, it really just doesn't make any sense right now. You know, realistically, if we're judging on how other teams handle these type of situations, they shut their star players down, period. That's just what they do, like it or not. LeBron hasn't been in this situation before. And so, you know, I think this is the closest you can get to convincing him of a reduced role moving forward. And so I think it makes sense. But, you know, 28-32 minutes is not really, you know, that's still high. Like, that's still high. I think, you know, getting them to, you know, sit out one and back to back, that's going to be more significant. But you know, like I said, you know, the risk here, if, you know, teams do it because of risk. You know, there's no point of getting your star player injured at this point of season. But LeBron, up until this point, has been Teflon. You know, he hasn't had sustained injury, so he doesn't have that fear of, you know, something can go down wrong, catastrophic. And so that's why I think, you know, it might have been tough if the Lakers were even trying to convince him to shut it down. I'm not sure that happened, but, you know, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the scenario.
Chris Haynes with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris B. Haynes. Get links to his podcast posted up with Chris Haynes on there as well. You mentioned you covered him in Cleveland. Was he, I mean, and look, he's being covered differently here. There was so much expectations, the national media, he's in purple and gold. He was expected to return the Lakers back to the postseason for the first time in a half decade. So he's taking some incoming for that not happening. But has he always been the kind of guy that's not going to give, you know, Mo Wagner a high five for missing him on the fast break? Has he always been kind of the guy that wanders away from timeouts when the coach is drawing up a play or sitting by himself on the end of the bench? Or is that something new this year and maybe just something that he's that frustrated with this group that he's kind of been tasked with trying to lead?
No, there's nothing that LeBron has done this season with the Lakers that I haven't seen, you know, with the Cavs. You know, that brief time where David Blatt was his coach, man, there was always something going on. You know, it got to the point. It was one point where it's still classic, man. Where I believe it was a playoff game. It might have been a play. Yeah, it was a playoff game. It was a playoff game against the Chicago Bulls, and I can't remember the series or what game it was. But David was about 5 seconds left, or about 3 seconds left on the clock. David Blatt called for LeBron James to inbound the ball, last play of the game. And LeBron James scratched it, drew up his own play where he wasn't inbounding the ball, And he did that, and he ended up taking the final shot and hitting the game winner in Chicago. And the media didn't have any clue about that until post-game, where he brought it up himself.
Ooh.
Like, yeah, that last play, I scratched it. I scratched. So I've never experienced anything like that when a player came out and said, yeah, this coach had the audacity to have me, LeBron James, inbound the ball where I'm not going to get the last shot. I scratched it. I drew this play up. I took the last shot. Game winner is over. I did that. And so, no, I've seen all of this, everything that the legends seen, I've seen all of it. But I think what LeBron, I just think LeBron kind of took for granted the fact that Lakers fans in this town, they expect you to accomplish those great things here. Like, you're not going to get a pass because of what you did in Cleveland, Miami. And I think he's starting to realize that right now. They're expecting you, while you're here during this 4-year tenure, they're expecting you to bring the hardware home. You know, they have great cities here. I mean, great teams here before, great superstars here before. And that's going to be the expectation. I think I don't know if he's quite grasped that yet.
That's interesting, Chris, because Matt was talking about that yesterday too. Matt was saying, he didn't know what LA was like, and it's like, what are you talking about? He lived over there in Brentwood. He's been out here for a long time. Was LeBron really that clueless about what the Los Angeles sports fan base was like?
I don't know if he was that clueless. And obviously, I think he believed, he understands that there are expectations. I mean, he's LeBron James. He's still in the prime. So, whatever team you're on, they're going to expect, championship or bust. But, it caught me by surprise. I can't remember how long. It wasn't that long ago where he was asked about his desire to win a championship. And he said, look, his response was something to, and I'm paraphrasing, but his response was, I've received every hardware there is to receive in this league.
Jeez.
So that caught me by surprise. I know it rubbed some Lakers fans the wrong way a little bit because it makes it sound like he's not pursuing those things anymore. Like coming to LA, there was something bigger. There was something other than coming here and playing for a championship. So I just think that it just doesn't sound like it's coming across like the championship is number one thing. And that's not something that people around here want to hear.
In terms of, getting people to join him, Chris, I mean, that was always kind of viewed as an issue because he was trying to get people to join him in Cleveland. And, he ended up having Kyrie already. He traded for Kevin Love, so he didn't have to attract that free agent to sign. But now he's in Los Angeles. Now it appears as though, maybe the assets the Lakers have aren't going to bring as big of a return as perhaps they could have last year or even a year before when they were just draft picks and not players. Will free agents play with him? Will these big, in terms of the scuttlebutt around the league, is he someone that a big name star, not a secondary star, but like a true legitimate top 15 player, are they comfortable playing alongside him?
Look, I mean, everybody knows, to answer your question, no, there are players who, star players who would like to play with LeBron, but they understand that a part of them a part of their role or even a part of their being would have to be diminished a little bit. It takes a lot to play with LeBron. It really does. I've covered LeBron on a day-to-day basis. I've covered Durant, Steph on a day-to-day basis. I covered Damian Lillard on a day-to-day basis. Like, there's nobody like LeBron in this league to where, the scrutiny, the pub, a lot of it really negative all throughout the course of the year that you have to deal with. You got to deal with the noise. You got to deal with questions pertaining to him. There's a lot that comes with playing with LeBron. And, if you look at the history, LeBron has his way works. So, his style of play, it works. It gets you to the finals. It's gotten you a couple finals championships. And so, It takes somebody who's really I'm trying to figure out the best way to say it. It takes somebody who's really comfortable within themselves and to be able to handle all of that, because there's a lot that comes. You saw Kevin Durant's comment this season about you know, how, yeah. you know, the difficulty it would be playing with LeBron. You know, that's just part of it. But if you're comfortable in yourself and you're a star player, you will thrive. LeBron has gotten a lot of players paid playing alongside him. You know, there's a bunch of dividends, you know, being on, you know, the same squad as him. So, no, there are players, you know, look, this is Los Angeles. You know, you're going to have players that still are interested in coming over. But no, there's no doubt about it. Playing with LeBron James is something that you would never experience anywhere else. There's definitely pros and cons.
Chris, I'm sure covering him for as long as you have, you might have thought the Michael Jordan celebration was going to be a certain kind of way when he passed that point total. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, it wasn't that. It was awkward. It was weird. It felt weird. What were your thoughts about it? Maybe you disagree.
No, it was a bad setting. It was a bad timing. Setting, I'm talking about if he were in Cleveland. Or, you know, even Miami, or probably anywhere else, he's getting more of a standing ovation. He's getting more. The game is going to be blocked off for a certain amount of time to fully acknowledge him, to allow him to, you know, receive the praise coming in. And then, you know, I said bad setting and bad timing. And the timing is just that the Lakers are reeling right now, you know, and he has a fully ingratiate himself with the Lakers fan base. You know, he still has some winning over to do, and with the losses and in the aftermath of the Anthony Davis situation, how that all panned out. I think all of those, the bad timing, the bad setting, I think all of that is what contributed to, you know, what people are calling a lackluster celebration and moving past Michael Jordan. And, you know, I just think that, you know, he definitely him. And that's another thing, too, guys, with, you know, coming over to the Lakers, you know, because, you know, he was fully enjoying that. He was fully engulfed in that. You know, he tweeted before the game, like, this is going to be so surreal.
He said, I'm not even going to front. That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah. And so you can tell.
Who says fronting anymore? Nobody says fronting.
But the point, you know, that's the point. He's still, like, he was deeply into this. Accomplishment well before it happened. And Laker fans are like, oh, okay, like before it happened, oh, I forgot about that. Okay, that mark is coming up. You know, they're not fully with them on it. You know, there's a lot of things that's been going on bad, and now it's like, okay, all this bad stuff is going on. You know, we don't think LeBron is fully a Laker. We don't think he's playing defense. They're losing. The Anthony Davis stuff, all that play out, and now we got to stuff. Now we're supposed to celebrate and applaud, you know, this milestone, you know. And so it's just I think those were the contributing factors that led to why it wasn't received so favorably.
He'll always have Alex Caruso and that sweet embrace on the court in the
moment.
Oh,
man.
Hi, LeBron.
Oh, boy.
I'm Alex.
Great stuff. Chris Haynes. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris B. Haynes. He broke the news, the story that LeBron James would be on a minutes restriction.
He delivers the news.
And he does.
And he delivers the entertaining sports analysis as a guest.
On the post-up podcast as well. We like them.
Not everybody can do both.
No, some dudes.
It's not for everybody.
No.
You know, Chris, radio's not for everybody.
Who can't do both? Name names. Who can't do both?
You know what? Anonymous. We keep it anonymous. Just like our sources. They're always anonymous.
Yeah, yeah. Who told you about the minutes?
Oh, this guy over there with the thing. Thank you, Chris.
I kid y'all not real quick before I go.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. So I was at the Laker game last week, and I guess I had did you guys' show right before the Laker game. And then one of the media members, Ben Golliver, writes for Washington Post. He was like, man, you should have heard PMS, what they were talking about before you came on. It was getting some other writer clowning them. I was like, oh, okay, I'll make sure I bring that up and give them some beef on that.
It's
been a few. Let's
someone,
be
well, I believe
we've
in that
obliterated
moment, though,
a few bridges.
It was someone
years.
That worked at the Yahoo and now has moved over to the Athletic and is known as an information man and someone who likes to break news.
Well, one time David Aldridge joined the show from a toilet. And we never let him live that down.
No.
He won't take our calls anymore.
No. The toilet's flushing, if giant you, echo.
If
it
you,
was,
yeah, if you go back about 13 years, Chris, there is a trail of angry writers behind us. And but not you.
Perhaps the most recent one rhymes with Rams Herania. So if that helps.
I don't know who y'all talking about.
No, not at all.
It's always a pleasure.
All right. Thank
it's
you, Chris.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
There he goes. Chris B. Haynes on Twitter, the Post It Up podcast. Love that guy. Breaking news coming on the show. The Clippers. A lot of Laker talk there because he's the guy that broke the LeBron James news on the minutes.
Well, we have Lawrence Frank to do Clippers.
Lawrence Frank will do Clippers, and we got Clippers basketball tonight at 7:30. Is your father going to join us next?
You know, I can't find him.
All right. Well, how about that tease? Can we find Tease Dad?
What?
Maybe I ran out of gas.
You know what? You can say whatever you want about me, but when you attack my father.
Yes. P did not inherit that from his father.
No, I've never met my father to run out of gas. I've never known my father to run out of gas. I have met my father before. I'm not a bastard.
You are not a bastard. All right. Maybe, Mr. P. Maybe not. Let's see if we can find him next.
And, you know, the other thing was nice and loose after the yoga class when I strode out across the street, across Crenshaw, really was able to pick my legs up and feel good.
I'm sure your father, who's on hold, is going to be proud that his son managed to run out of gas again but is patting himself on the back for not freaking out.
Well, we're not patient people.
We'll find out. We'll ask him. How proud are you of your son who ran out of gas and didn't freak out when he had to go cross the street to get a damn can again?
My father joins us, John Papadakis, father of the guy who ran out of gas this morning.
Again.
He is a singer and songwriter now. Well, no, he sings.
Vitello's.
He's a crooner.
Next month.
Vitello's next month.
Catalina in May.
We're very excited about both shows.
Beautiful digital brochure making its way through social media advertising both dates.
And the Dawn's trying to nuzzle up to Tyrell, Steve Tyrell, the local crooner, international crooner, really, because he plays jazz on K-Jazz, and the Dawn wants to get some. It's not enough to get his songs played on PMS.
And got to take care of every platform. Here,
you should pay you to go
FM,
over and
I used to sling records.
Yeah, sling records. Go over to K-Jazz.
They still doing blow over there?
I would imagine. I don't think they're going to turn it down, Matt.
A hoot and a toot. A couple spins.
Hey, I left something for you in the bathroom.
There you go.
John Papadakis is joining us right now.
Looking for 15 a week.
I've never even seen cocaine. My father.
I shouldn't.
The Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. Hi, Dad. How are you?
Hello, boys.
Hello, Mr. Papadakis.
Matt has a question he wants to ask.
Are you proud of your son for not freaking out after he ran out of gas again this morning?
Ran out of gas.
He did.
He's been out of gas for years, man. I can tell you that. I'm still paying his gas bills and his parking tickets.
No, you're not.
Yes, he is.
We're leaving cars all over town.
The first time I ran out of gas, it's true. It was right when I got my license. I didn't realize the whole empty thing.
He should be a professional hitchhiker.
The first time I ran out of gas, Matt, no joke.
Instead of a verbal hitchhiker,
I just parked up on the embankment on the side of the hill and got out of the car and ran home and forgot about it.
The Hitchhiking Association of America.
All right, Dad. Enough.
You might get a little support from all the weird groups out there.
Probably would.
Oh, the weird groups.
You can sue everybody for not picking you up.
Yeah, yeah, sweet James.
You can claim, what do they call it?
Discrimination.
Or, now, Dad, before we get... No. Before we go down that road, why don't you tell us a little bit about your singing? You recorded this week, I was told. Big dates coming up.
With Richie.
Richie Cole?
No, with Lou.
Lou Forestieri.
Yeah, and he put down the tracks. He laid down the tracks. Now I have the tracks to work with to do the vocals. But, Petra, I'm interested in something.
What?
You were talking about not being able to find yourself.
What?
Right before the break. You were talking about not being able to find yourself.
Well, I was?
Yeah, you said that you used that line. I was a little interested in what you were talking about.
I have no idea, Bob.
Apparently he's still looking.
Well, you are an oral poet. You go on a stream of consciousness, I guess.
I guess. Are you worried about me? I'm okay.
No, but there was a line from Visions of Johanna.
Yes, the Bob Dylan song.
Which I used to listen to all the time. It said, geez, I can't find my knees. Remember that line?
Yes, I do remember that. I think it's talking about drugs.
And it's interesting because that's what I used to listen to. The Visions of Johanna in preparation for a high school football game.
Yes.
The night before, I'd put my head to the hi-fi. You know, we had a hi-fi set. It came, it looked like a piece of furniture. And I put my head to it. I'd play two songs. One is the Visions of Johanna, and the other one I'm going to sing when I perform. It's called the When Johanna Loved Me. For some reason, I love the name Johanna, and then I learned through Greek school that Joanna, is the female counterpart of the name John. So I must have been looking
Makes
for
sense.
Myself.
Yes. and love.
Oh, see, ties it all back together.
With yourself.
So I was wondering if you found yourself.
I found it. I'm good. I'm right here with Matt doing the show, Frogman Fridays.
Couple minutes. Selfie. Couple just posted it on the gram.
Couple minutes clarity, left in this segment.
Petro, for clarity purposes, Steve Tyrell, great American singer, has worked with Burt Bacharach, worked with Quincy Jones, worked with
a Grammy winner, I think, or something.
Tremendous. He's the best American jazz singer. Okay. There's another one named Kurt Elling. He's bigger in Europe than he is in America, but in America, he just, you know, he's so popular that he can fill any arena. He's really something. He's great. I love it.
Like Roberto Carlos.
But Steve Tyrell is more user-friendly, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And he's like appears in the Carlisle Hotel
uh-huh.
the whole month of December.
Very nice.
I know.
You know, I mean, he replaced Bobby Short there, so you can see what he's... Anyway, he has a musical director named Lyman Medeiros. And
Lyman?
Lyman. L-Y-M-A-N. He's a big, big fan of your show. I've seen him perform a number of times. And he confessed to me that he's a big fan of your show.
Well, how wonderful.
Okay, I gave him some of your music. He wants to meet you, and he wants to come on the show, and I thought it'd be a great thing.
I'll bring him up.
Have him come on, and we can talk about jazz.
Yes, bring him up, and we'll do a PMS jazz segment.
Yeah, I really think that now.
Matt's going to wear a beret and hold a bongo.
Throw it out the window, you know.
Smoke a clove.
He actually listened to it, and you know what he loves? He loves the song I Have a Home in Pittsburgh.
Yes, the song you wrote about Pittsburgh.
Right. Richie Cole's song, I just wrote the lyrics and
yes.
sang it. But he loves it. And I said, geez, if you can get Steve Tyrell to sing that song, it can
Ooh.
Over that whole city. So he's presenting it to Steve.
Oh, well, good luck with that, Pop.
Well, that between that and presenting, you know, the fella, Marty Ehrlichman, who I met last week, presenting the music.
I mean, come on.
It's nice to see the music circulating a little bit. Yeah. Who knows? They may throw it in the garbage. But
No, Dad. You are destined to become a jazz star. I think we all have come to terms with it.
Not so much for me, but the music itself.
Yes, yes, for the music.
And what it can do for you guys in the future.
Exactly right.
Oh, I can't wait for that jazz inheritance.
All the bumpers.
Those evenings I spent with my ear press to the hi-fi. You know, they pay off.
Are you going to end up
was
like
the hi-fi, was that vinyl or was it reel-to-reel? What was included
vinyl,
in your hi-fi?
Vinyl.
All vinyl. Covers. You know, the album cover.
Dad.
Oh, yeah.
If you become a jazz star, are you going to... Hey.
What?
If you become a jazz star, are you going to be like a degenerate that I have to carry around and you're going to be all strung out all the time?
I fall asleep right after I sing.
That's like Dexter Gordon and around midnight, I'm going to have to babysit you? All right.
I've got to stay clean.
Be the guy that scores all the smack.
Woman.
No junk, no soul, Pop. Remember
right.
that.
No, I know. Well, believe me, if I get a little bit high, it'll come out even better, but I don't intend to.
Just
where
a little.
It all starts.
Just a little bit.
Where it all starts.
Just a gummy.
That's all.
Just remember the great line, geez, I can't find my knees.
I remember some of those moments.
That's my generation.
Last about 6 to 7 hours, yeah, and then I'd find my knees again.
Play the music, my son.
36 hours just to come back down. John Papadakis, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Pop.
See ya.
See you, Mr. Pep.
This is Visions of Johanna, which is one of the great songs of all time, as far as lyrics go, as far as I'm concerned. But what do I know?
It's no radioactive.
No, you're right. I'm just an idiot that runs out of gas periodically.
It's no radioactive. We have got Scott Wolf next hour. We've got Lawrence Frank and David Sills in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going until 6:30 p.m. when we hand it over to Clippers pregame. Word number song next.
Did I say I couldn't find myself?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't
I think he just said that to do the little bit.
He made it work for himself.